Warning, the following presentation is for mature audiences only. It is not intended for children, the oversensitive, or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
This project is extremely dangerous.
It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord, Carol the Cat, the Giddy Geeker, and Tiffany the Technician.
People assume that time is a strict progression of cause to effect, but actually, from a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff.
And now, damn right they shot first, the hosts of Guardians of the Geekery.
Episode 197! Holy moly.
We are so close to 200.
Back in the new studio.
I know. You're all bitter at me because I took the purple one and I gave you the Hufflepuff. I don't know what your issue
so
is.
So regal.
Yeah, so hi, Tiffles.
Hello.
We missed you on episode 196. It wasn't the same without you.
I missed you guys too.
Yeah,
we missed her outside.
We missed the fire. Yeah. Now we have a door. Before it was the kitchen. You just walked in. Now we have a door. I was thinking we need to get one of those little recording lights.
Boop. That would be cool.
We are now on the air.
Yes.
Now we know what to get you guys for your anniversary.
That is not as sexy as one would think.
You could be recording sexy things.
Okay. So make sure you go back and listen to episode 196. We had Makerspace Charlotte here. They had really cool stuff. The problem is we're an audio podcast and they were video. But
it's really cool stuff. And check out their website because it is actually really interesting. And I do agree with them that we need more makers in Charlotte. So
we do.
Sounds like a cool space.
Yeah, it's something we need to guard, Guardians. Okay, so we are on our new topic, week number two. Now, last episode, 195, we announced that we would be talking about music this week, but we lied.
We totally lied.
Oh, man. Yeah. I listened to music and everything.
You did the wrong homework, didn't you?
I did both homeworks.
Yeah. So this week we're actually going to be reviewing our first book.
Woohoo.
Well, I mean, we've reviewed books before, but this is the first time all four of us have read.
The first book I ever read was Little Cowboy.
97.5% of us.
Correct. Yeah.
The first book I ever read was Little Cowboy. Let me go into it. It was about 6 pages long. What?
No.
First book, right?
No. The first book that we as a group read together, which was Quincy Harker series, year one.
So it's not Monster at the end of this book?
Oh, shit.
Spoilers, it's Grover.
Yeah. And once again, just like the movie, we all read it separately. We didn't read it together.
We didn't all pile into Joey and Matt's bed and read it.
It's a read-in.
I didn't know that was an option, but wait till we get the king-size bed.
No. Next time. Next time.
California King, maybe.
Suddenly our books will be like Winds of Winter. We must read the new chair.
Best of Harlequin Romance. Fabio's on the cover.
Well, we were doing that the other night because we were both reading at the same time, but we were reading our own books, and Matt was getting a little bitter with me.
Just a lot bitter. Let's be honest.
Why?
Because I was ahead of you, and then you read like 300 pages a second, and I'm like, I'm now on page 100, I got a good lead, and then you're like, I'm on 212, and I'm like, what happened?
That's not true. You're ahead of me, but I came home right after work the other night and just sat down and read for like an hour before you got home, so I was only like 40 or 50 pages behind you by the time you got to sit down and read.
Thank you. I learned from Hooked on Pahonics.
So Quincy Harker Year One is by our dear
fascinating
friend.
Radio, right?
Oh, wait a minute. Are we doing our week first, or are we going to go straight into Quincy Harker?
Carol, how was your week?
Obviously, totally natural, not spoken about beforehand.
Yeah.
How was your week? Insert name here. Carol?
That smack was me hitting Starnslord because I'm closer to him
now. It was a fairly standard week for me, filled with movies and books, which is like every week for me.
This is true.
I did see a couple movies and read a couple books.
Ooh, you'll have to tell us which books later.
I'll save the movies for later, for that podcast.
Yes. Tiffles, how was your week? Did you do anything exciting? Please go. I've gone done something exciting this weekend.
I can't think of anything. I went to a friend of mine got free tickets to an Eagles tribute band. So we went to that on Friday night. And let me tell you what a hoot that was. Not.
What? But you don't like Hotel California?
It's every song sounded the same. Like, well, literally every song. And I'm like, didn't they just play this song?
Was there a Timothy B. Schmidt looking guy? Because I have to say.
I don't even know who that is.
Long hair, white flowing shirt with the black leather vest over top of it.
Oh, okay. Did they sound like the Eagles? Or?
I'm not a fan of the Eagles, quite frankly.
So then why did you go?
Well, because it was free. It was free. And it was like something different. And I feel like they must have given away free tickets because that place, it was at the Fillmore.
Oh.
And it was packed. But it was fun because afterwards went to VBGB and.
Oh, that's a fun place.
You know, played Jenga and all that. So it was good.
I did check out a new video arcade in Concord. I went up and hung out with a friend of mine, and there's a new video arcade bar, similar to a Bari.
Right.
But it has all old school.
Oh, what is it called?
It's called... Oh, crap.
You volunteered this information. So go check out Oh Crap. It's evidently this cool video arcade bar.
Was it Basement
Concord,
Arcade?
It's basement. It's the basement, yes.
I wanted to check that out.
It's in Concord. It's downtown Concord. I left there with a high score on Centipede and Q-Bert, so.
Ooh, Q-Bert's tough. Yeah, nice.
I sucked at Q-Bert. I would always fall off the side.
They got a Star Wars and a
Indiana Jones?
God, they were right side by side, too.
E.T.?
No, the pinball machines. I was playing the Star Wars pinball machine, but I suck at pinball. I really, truly do.
Oh. I was really good at the Xanadu pinball machine. Xanadu.
God, that movie was terrible. Okay.
Okay. So what did you do, Starnslord?
I read a book.
You did slowly.
Every second of the day.
I read a book. It was difficult. No.
What did we do this weekend? I'm
totally blanking. No, yeah.
You went to a con.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
I knew that.
That seems like a year ago.
We went to the Geek Trail
MicroCon in at Sweet Union Brewery and Indian Trail. So it was a first year event. And they had some cosplayers and Tank Girl was out there. So
She won $50. We've seen her at some of the Charlotte Comic Cons and stuff like that. We got to put up our new banner. We were very excited about that.
Yeah. Yes. Check out our Facebook page to see the picture of Joey underneath the banner.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And then didn't we go get we mailed out film festival awards because they arrived in the mail. We had some snow around here, so we were kind of stuck in the house for a couple days, so we were very excited to not be in the house. And
yes.
So we got some stuff done. But anyway, so let's talk about Quincy Harker. So it's our first book. Tiffles is the non-geek. And 97.5% finished.
Yes.
I'm just calling
and
you
putting
out.
Forth all, putting forth all information. This is written by a very good friend of ours, John Hartness.
Yeah, who will actually be on the podcast on episode 198 and 199.
That would have been cool if he was the guest before and then he stuck around and talked about his own book. And
just like, stood there
beautiful.
And stared at us as we
hello, as
it.
The booker for this podcast, I made sure that did happen.
I know you did that. I appreciate it.
But you scheduled him to come after we talk about his book?
Yes. No, I scheduled him to come before and then we had a snowstorm. I wasn't planning for him to be able to hear this before he showed up to our house. But it worked out okay. So he's a friend of ours. This book is actually 456 pages long if you did the old human method. If you didn't do Kindle or audiobook, you cheat, Carol. I hate you.
I only did the last two novellas on audiobook. I was reading it, but I knew I was going to run out of time.
Yeah, and truth be, this is not a book. It's actually four books, four novellas. So, so what did you think?
I liked it. I am not someone that has really read John's work before, and typically a book about like a demon hunter or anything sort of horror or sci-fi, not that this is really a horror. It's more of a fun, dark humor.
I would say the fourth novella was close to horror for me.
Okay.
but you know that in the first couple pages, because like they're eviscerated.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to, like, I'm blanking.
It's the families. It's the one with the families.
That's right. He walks in on the girl and the mom and the father. Yeah, okay. The blood. Yep.
And the girl and the father and the blood.
I don't want to give too much away.
The father, the son, the Holy Ghost.
Are we doing spoilers?
Suddenly, I kind of feel like a little, well, we're going to be talking about what it was about, but since it's four novellas, we don't have to give away the resolution.
We don't have to give away like the entire plot lines or anything, but we can give the basics, I think.
Yeah. So, but it wasn't really horror, but you said normally.
Yeah, it's like a dark comedy. Point is, it's not something I would normally gravitate towards. I mean, there's no like Mr. Darcy in it, or it doesn't take place in Victorian England, that type of thing. But
Henry Cavill's not on the cover.
Exactly. Gotcha. I mean, for shame. But I really enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. You know, I've met John. I'm not close with him, unfortunately, like the rest of you, but I've met him a few times, and it's definitely, when you read it, it's like hearing his voice in your head.
That was part
saying
of my problem.
That. Oh, really?
I only pictured John as Quincy.
But I found I was reading much slower than normal because, and I have this problem with Tally Johnson's books too, I was hearing John in my head.
And John doesn't talk. He talks quickly, but not fast.
That quickly. Yeah. So I was slowing down my reading to hear John tell me the story.
Damn you, John.
I know. Okay. So it was, yeah, I have the same problem with Tally Johnson. I read Tally Johnson incredibly slow because Tally's got that southern draw.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, I mean, what
okay,
did you
so,
think?
Plot line. Let's put the plot line of the book out there.
Okay.
Okay. So Quincy Harker is the, and I'm not really spoiling anything here. He's kind of the
nephew of Dracula.
Nephew of Dracula, quote unquote nephew, because he's not technically related to Dracula, but he is the son of Nina and Jonathan Harker from the Dracula novel.
Yes.
And Dracula bit his mother, and then she gave birth to him. So
yeah, so
that's
he's
why
not
he
technically
has
a vampire, but he has immortality, and he is a demon hunter. But more than just a demon hunter, he also hunts other supernatural beings.
Yeah,
he knows magic.
Yeah, and he's got, because of the vampire blood, but not being totally a vampire, he's got special significance.
Yeah,
so he's a little faster.
What are you
saying?
A little stronger. You're saying a big dong? Is that what you're saying?
Well, he hasn't described it yet. But
I don't know. They keep telling him to put it away.
There was one.
He was not afraid to show it off. So, I mean, I'm assuming it's big.
I think it was the third novella that,
So it's set here in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yes.
Which is cool.
Yeah. And so it will mention certain areas. And some of the places that he mentions are real. And some of the places are not necessarily real, but you may or may not know what he may be referring to.
Yes.
So if you know John and his habits at all, you start to say, oh yeah, that and that and that. So, but you know, even if you didn't know him, you would definitely do that. And he's basically, recruited in a X-Files sort of way to help the cops against their will, to solve some murders.
Yes.
So, or issues.
Issues, because it is four
different
stories.
Yeah. So, what did you think, Stearns Lord?
I really enjoyed it. The last novella, I have to be honest, and I know they're separate, but because it was collected, and I enjoy the writing just like the other three novellas, but it didn't, to me, really fit with the other ones as much.
It was a darker tone.
It was a darker tone, and I had a problem with the pacing on that one.
Yeah, and it also, I just think it kind of, I don't know, it didn't.
I didn't
to
want
me, it
to. It
didn't tie into other stories, really, to me, some of the characters, but the writing was still spot on. So it's like, John, don't beat me up. I did like it. But yeah, just kind of, I think it, but it's odd. I actually read that novella faster than the other three.
You wanted to get through it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. And I didn't mind the darkness of it at all.
I did. I mean, it made me sad, but I think that's a sign of good writing too, because I felt for the characters and I was like, ew.
Yeah.
Because to be able to do that visually in words is a good skill. But yeah, the pacing was different on that one.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that I had really enjoyed the read up until then, and even though there was bad things happening to bad people, I was okay with it. The last story was a little more depressing for me. And so I think I was like, I don't want this to be the last story that I read in this book. which yeah. I'm very glad that he's got a year two, so yeah. I can immediately go out and plunge myself into that one so that that's behind me. But it was a tougher story to read for me.
Yeah, and I really do like the progression between Harker and Flynn, the cop. I really think that it really progresses nicely through the novellas. So you have to kind of, as a collection, you're kind of reading it. And I thought it was pretty good because it wasn't like, I have to tell the whole story of Flynn again. You know, it wasn't like that at all. He did a really good job of just kind of sprinkling that in there.
Yeah, I think that is one of my hesitations with this is because it's four novellas, you do tend to get a little bit of repetition because it's explaining things. If you hadn't read the first novella, it's going to explain again who Uncle Luke
her father dying.
Yeah.
But it gets pretty quick.
Yeah.
It gets pretty quick. He doesn't belabor it. Like,
right. And it now, doesn't. Yeah. It's not that bad. It's not a drawback.
Right.
It didn't make me dislike the book at all.
Yeah. Uncle Ben and doesn't die over and over again in Spider-Man in these novellas. That's for sure. I love the fact that I looked forward to certain characters reappearing. I couldn't wait until Renfield was called on.
He was my favorite.
Too. Yeah. I was always curious when Glory was going to show up, and I'm not giving anything away. These characters are introduced pretty quickly in the first novella. But I was always looking for, when are we going to see that person? When are we going to see that person? So I think that was the thing. And I think the thing that was interesting about reading the four novellas as a book for me was the fact that it almost felt like BBC America Sherlock Holmes episodes, like 90-minute episodes where it was like because each one's a novella, it's like its own little mini movie. But you're just like, you know those characters, so it's almost like episodic television where you see it over and over again, like in a mini series. And so the fact that, you know, there's a potential that that could maybe happen someday, just, you know, without me officially saying anything. But, you know, I could totally see that happening
it does actually read very much like it doesn't read like a screenplay, but it reads like something that could very easily be turned into a screenplay.
And I think the fact that he has a background in the theater shows, because there is that movement and that pacing. And I've definitely read books where it's so descriptive and there's a lot of monologue that keeps the story going along, and the description is vivid but not laborious where you're just like, shoot me now. So what things I know, John, we love you, what things didn't work for you?
Well, the repetition
a little bit.
That was just a little bit. I do think that fourth novella had pacing issues. I didn't mind the story so much, and I did like the inclusion of the bar. I can't really think of anything that I hate. I just really didn't like about the books. It was such a nice, easy read. And I was coming off of... I'll talk about the book that I read previous to this later on. So I was coming off kind of a tough book to read, and this was just very nice and... I don't want to say a happy read because there's like death and destruction and blood and guts.
You're a horror girl, so it's right up your alley. But it was a
happy read.
Yeah. I love his sense of humor.
I do. Yeah. His sense of humor really shines through in his writing. John is a very funny guy, and that really shows in his writing.
Yeah. The one thing that kind of took me out a couple of times, and this wouldn't happen for the current reader if you picked up a new edition, but I had bought one of the books from the first printing, and there were some editing errors that were in there, and that would catch me out because I'm an English major.
Did your edition have something where it had like them going to Paris? And I feel like there was the third story, there was like where they were doing something and then they were in Paris, and I'm like, did I miss something?
That was a flashback.
Oh, okay. I completely missed that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he went back and talked about how, that was in the third story. Yeah. Exactly. He was in Paris. No, this was more little stuff, like just that instead of Tryon Street, it was Tyron.
Oh yeah. It was. Right.
And then there was a couple times where it was like, it should have been a different word, and it was the same word twice. I mean, it was easy things to fix, but it was, I was so in the story that I was like, oh, wait, wait, oh, okay. And then had to kind of re-immerse myself. So, but that's not his fault. I mean, that's just something that happens. So that was a little bit.
And I do have to say, as someone who read half of the book and then listened to half of the book, the audiobook is actually quite good as well. The performance on the audiobook is really good.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think, Starnsler?
I didn't listen to the audiobook, but no.
What did you think about the book other than that?
No, I really enjoyed it. No, it was really cool. One of the things, and I guess it's because John's been here a long time like me, but he was talking about this club that used to be here called Mythos. And I used to work with Andy Castanis, who spun there, and some relatives own the club. But when I worked in radio, he would come in every Sunday night and bring this huge mixing board and go right into our radio professional 100,000 watt board and spin. So that just really took me back. Because there used to be some kick-ass places, and Mythos was kind of, to me, the nice one. And I was a little bit more in my goth phase, and it was kind of a mix between goth and just people that like to dance, and I could actually move back then without major pain. So, he got the details just perfectly. But I think, his description was really good. So even if you didn't know these places, you kind of get a sense of, you've been to a nightclub that's really cool, and there's a line, there's people puking out the back, and all those kind of things that go along with the club life.
Yeah.
So. I think it's really nice. I love the fact that it was set in Charlotte, North Carolina, because you do recognize a whole bunch of the places. And I'm trying to find, there's another writer that
puts stuff in Charlotte.
Yeah, that writes books that, and I can't find her name. But it always struck me, she always changed things a little bit. It would be set in Charlotte, but like there used to be a greasy spoon off of Independence called The Knife and Fork.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the spoon and fork in her books. She just changed it a tiny little bit. It was so just so it wouldn't be just, I'm stealing your business or whatever.
Right.
So it was kind of nice to actually know where people were driving.
Right.
Is that weird?
Well, it's really funny. Like in the last story, it was taken. I mean, I know basically the motel he was talking about right off Sugar Creek, which is like 2 miles from here. And I was like, what?
Yeah, nothing like hearing about how there was. I was like, I've always wondered what was in that hotel, John. Thanks for telling me. So, his Black Knight Chronicles, which are the first books that I read by him, are set in Charlotte as well. And it is always a little creepy when like a murder happens like a couple miles from my house in the book.
For sure.
But I had known John for years and had never read his books. And it was on the principle that I don't want to read it and find out I don't like them.
Yeah. That's always, as someone who worked with conventions for 15 years, signing a whole lot of writers, I was always hesitant to take their books if they offered them to me, because that I was like, oh gosh, what do I say if I don't like it?
Well, especially because you were reviewing actively on your website. That was a little dangerous.
And I was like, I don't want to make you mad at me. Thankfully, you don't have to do that with this, because it is it's a really great read.
You said like you had tried to read other books and weren't as into it, and this one really worked for you.
Yes, I think maybe it was the Black Knight Chronicles. I got in a little bit into it, and it just didn't hit a home run with me to begin with, but I did enjoy this. I enjoyed the pacing of it. As discussed, I did not finish the fourth novella, but
you know, I have to give you crap.
I know, so I can't comment on that. But I did like the progression of the stories, and I liked that it got more fun in the sense that you knew the characters, you kind of knew what to expect about them, it was cool.
And having it as four novellas, the progression of personalities is much faster in a novella. So by the second book, you're like, oh yeah, they did this last time, and so this is character. And third and fourth, where if it had been all 456 was like the character development of each one, I think it wouldn't have been as enjoyable, because you kind of, you know, like, oh, they successfully finished this, and now they're on to the next adventure, and now they're on. So they literally had four adventures in one set of pages, which is cool.
And this isn't, I mean, to be frank, I mean, it's not like a psychological deep dive on a main character.
It's not Silence of the Lambs.
No, it's not. You know, so it wouldn't need that type of depth. Like, you get the gist about his character, and you see him evolve, actually, quite well over these four novellas. So I think it's perfect the way it was sort of presented.
Yeah, I think for me, the only person that I couldn't clearly picture in my mind was...
Smith? Or?
Quincy Harker.
Oh, Quincy Harker.
No, in my mind, Smith looks like Mitch Pileggi, and I'm fine with that. So
Patricia Patricia Cornwell is the writer. Oh, yeah. I was attempting to draw from my brain.
Yeah, so... No, I mean, because Harker, because like you said, it's too close to Harkness, and in the first person, like it sounds like Harkness, but the body description doesn't match up.
No, I love you, John.
But it doesn't. So that's the part that like always throws me a little bit. So like,
I would be thinking of John's frame, which is similar to mine, and then it'd be
is still hot. I'm not saying it's not hot.
Oh, no, but then
I'm just saying it's not
build.
The same.
Yeah, then yeah.
Just envisioning him fighting was be like, no, that's not quite working.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't picture him in that regard. I just, like, definitely heard his voice. But
I want to know what he has against Bob Marley, though. Because, like, he keeps mentioning Bob Marley with bad people or dumb people. Oh. That was the stuff. I was like, dude, what do you got against Bob Marley? It's like, he mentioned them, like, two different characters had that.
Well, I think for some people, myself included, Bob Marley was, like, that gateway drug into reggae. But some people never went past Bob Marley. And so you just hear fucking Legends, the Legend album, like, ever and ever. And it was like, and they released like seven different versions of that stupid thing. I mean, it was a great album, actually. But it's like, you need to move on to the deeper stuff. You know, it's like, wow. It's like,
come on. Shaggy.
Yeah.
There's more than Marley.
Yeah.
But, So of the three stories, which one was, or the four stories? Well, I was trying to be level playing field. Of the stories that you read, which one was your favorite?
Probably the third one. I didn't mind the fourth one so much. I did think it had a little bit of pacing issues, and I do think the ending kind of came out of nowhere. It was very quick. It was very quick. But I think he had the same problem with the first novella. The ending was very quick. But I think that worked in the first novella because you were introducing the characters.
Yeah.
I think the third one probably worked the best for me.
I'd say the second or the third. Yeah, they're both of those. Yeah, because the first one is sort of like the introduction, so they had to cover some ground. And then the second and third one, I thought I was kind of really invested in the world. So I was comfy.
Well, and the third one was the one with the flashbacks, too.
Yeah.
So that gave like more background story and some characters. So.
And I definitely liked his current pop references or at least at the time, like the Highlander and those type of things. It just really made it, because it's like, those are real things you think of, and especially, you know, people that like these type of things. But it really kind of just reminded me of kind of a hybrid of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
But he, like, calls it out right up front, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Well, yeah, but a combination of that and a little bit of Trailer Park Boys, as far as Trailer Park Boys, as far as the comedy elements of it. Not quite that stonerish, but definitely the chosen one of the seals, the seven seals.
The line of Judah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, I was I was just dying because of the, you know. But anyway, yeah. I thought he really got into the you're dealing with different aged humans and unhumans and undead. And I think he kind of matched those voices very well, which was cool. So, because a lot of times a writer will write and they don't find all the voices of the different characters. And I think he had a nice voice for each of the characters. So.
Yeah. Anyway. So my concern was this: in the fourth novella, there wasn't really any commentary about Black Superman, and I was like, where did her boyfriend go, Flynn's boyfriend? So I was like, what happened to that? And then. My other thing, too, and that was a me thing, and I think it was potentially for effect, and so maybe it served its purpose, but sometimes when he mentioned things like doing things Windershins, which is counterclockwise, I was like, what the heck are you talking about?
No, that's a very that's a very Wiccan term.
Yeah.
And he's just trying to draw that magical vocab into the story. I kind of got why he did it.
Yeah, but by the third or fourth story, then I was like, oh, now I know what this means. So,
but it just made me think of every Wiccan that I've met that doesn't quite take it seriously and just likes to use the words. I didn't mind it so much, though. Yeah. There's a lot of Latin in this book.
I was like, did you make all these words up? Because I'm not going to stop to look them up right now.
So. Or is this all Harry Potter? Did you just...
Well, but in Harry Potter, like the Mirror of Ezered, well, it's the word desire backwards. Duh. So whatever you desire is what you see in the Mirror of Ezered. Okay, I get that. But you don't get to look at the words that he uses from Latin and be able to say, oh, I know what that is. You know, it doesn't mean
I do hope that Quincy gets a cat, though, because in the last novella, he was telling Flynn to remind him that
to buy
if
a cat.
He, if he yeah. actually lives through it, to dun, dun, remind dun. Him to buy a cat.
Now we have to read series two. I will let you know.
The author has a cat in real life, so it could be very possible.
Remind me to get a cat. So, all right. So overall, what would you give it as a grade so far, Tiffles? All things considered.
I would say a B.
For the type of book that it is, like I'm not judging it like against Silence of the Lambs or some other really heavy. I'm going to give it an A-.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say A or A-. Yeah. It really was just the last novella that kind of dinged it for me, but it still was really... enjoyable, but yeah.
I mean, a book that I read all the way through and didn't, I mean, like I said, other than the last story just being like too much for me, I loved it. So I would definitely put it in the A category. So A-. And it's not because you're coming next week, John. So I would say it anyway. But yeah, no, I thought it was really good. But it's definitely a certain kind of book. You know, if you're looking for something deep and gothic and mystical, well, it's gothic and mystical, and there's deep information in mm-hmm. there, but it's a sarcastic, cynical
yeah.
kind of thing, and that's the way John is. He's very sarcastic, and that's why we love him. So what other books have we been reading?
Okay, so the book I finished right before this one was Fire and Fury.
The Donald Trump Exposé by Mike Wolff.
Oh, dear.
Which was why I went into this and was like, oh, thank you, murder.
You'd been wanting to do it all book, and now you finally got to see some. Yeah.
Oddly, on that one, there was really nothing new. I was somewhat... It's not that I was disappointed. It was just that, oh, well...
If you're an informed citizen, kinda, you already knew this stuff.
You already knew this stuff, and it just kind of confirmed what you already knew. Mm. But it was a very quick read, and if you're an informed citizen, it makes you angry.
Yeah.
And then before that, I read Stiff. Which is what happens to your body after you die. It's by Mary
You're
Roach.
A very pleasant person.
I know I am. Is
it nonfiction?
It's nonfiction. No, oh, cool. It's like actually telling you what happens if you donate your body to science, what things it can be used for, different things that happen to your body post-mortem.
Okay.
It's actually really interesting. It is very morbid. But I thought it was actually quite interesting. I was at work the other day and I had two books sitting on my desk. One was Stiff and one was the Hannibal Cookbook. And one of the guys is like, Carol, should we be scared of you?
And you said,
I yes. just fluttered my eyelashes and said, what? Scared of me?
That's how you scare off the new temps, isn't it?
Yeah, that is how I scare off the new temps. But well, but I highly recommend Stiff. That's actually a very interesting read.
How about you? You said you had read something else too, Tiffles.
I did. Also something out of character for myself. And I know Carol has read it. It's not a new book. I read Ready Player One.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, it's not, again, not a book I would typically gravitate towards. At the time that I started reading it, did not realize there's a Steven Spielberg directed movie coming out in March. So no wonder it was kind of like being promoted. I was kind of like, why did this show up as a recommendation? But okay. I like the synopsis. So I was like, okay, I'll give this a chance. It's something different. And I have to say, I really enjoyed it. It's you know, filled with pop culture references.
Very
I think
so.
I as I was reading it, knowing that you read it, Carol, I was like, this has got to be like porn for it Carol is. Because the character of Halliday, which is not without getting too much into this book, is like the same age as Carol.
Yeah.
So, and grew up at the same time and stuff like that. And I'm like, a lot of the references didn't mean anything to me, but I felt like probably for you, somebody who is so pop culture plugged in, it probably meant a lot to you. But I thought it was a really, really fun story. Didn't really get boring. And I look forward to the movie. So
I agree.
Check
it's
out.
Really, it's a nice quick read too. It's really.
I agree.
Have you read anything else?
I listened to the music and then I went right into this book. So sorry. No. Nope.
Yeah. So I have a couple books on my desk that I'm working my way through, but I haven't finished any of them yet. I stopped to do.
We'll hold off to the next one.
My boss had given me a book and she said, you have to read this. And so I kind of was scared that if I got too deep into it, I wouldn't stop to read Quincy Harker. So. I'm going to be reading that. And then next month, we'll be doing The Disaster Artist by Greg Sestero. So we'll be reading that. And then hopefully by that time, Tiffany will have seen either the movies that go with it.
Do you think it would be better to see the movies first or read the book first?
I would suggest at least seeing the room first. I should do like a viewing party.
Yeah.
Because I own the room.
Yeah, we used to do the room parties at cons, but we should actually do one here. So
yeah, we should do just like a viewing party. I know the Disaster Artist isn't out on video yet, but no, I would at least watch the room just so you have
a concept of what's being talked about.
Tommy himself. Okay. Tommy is a character.
Well, him and James Franco were on Howard Stern last month, so
you do have a little insight.
Yeah, you're a guy.
That is just Tommy.
That's him. Yeah. So I would definitely check out the room first and then read it. But
and we could always do the Riff Tracks version because
that's a little more palpable,
easier to take.
Yeah, I don't know if Tiffany will get through that. I don't know.
I think she would actually find it hilarious because you have to go into it realizing that they thought they made a very good film.
He thought he was making a great film.
Yeah. I got that essence from the from the interview, so
I just predict a bunch of hell knows.
Too funny.
Yeah.
But then in other book news, we do
on a sad note, one of my favorite authors passed away.
Because we can't get away from it.
I know we can't, but she's a big one. She's a big name. She's a big name in the industry.
You said there was actually two, right?
Yeah, I did, but I didn't read as much Robert Ketchum as I did Ursula K. Le Guin, and I think she is a bigger name. Wrote The Wizard of Earthsea and Left Hand of Darkness and a whole lot of other books that inhabited my teenage years. And what I loved about her books is that she wrote male characters, but she didn't write them as macho men. She wrote them as intellectual people who actually use their brains. And it was really refreshing in fantasy and sci-fi of that era to have guys that didn't just be the shit out of people.
Yeah.
Actually thought and
they weren't all Kirks.
Right.
They were Spocks.
And
more like doctors.
The doctor. But I highly recommend you pick up the trilogy, the Earthsea trilogy. Actually, it's four books, but
because that's how we do it.
The original,
it's a Baker's trilogy.
The original trilogy is a story in and of itself. The fourth book is completely separate.
Oh. It's a Baker's trilogy.
Yes.
Tom Baker was the fourth doctor. There's four books.
Very good.
That's where my mind works, in case you were wondering. So anyway, go ahead.
And Left Hand of Darkness, if you're interested in gender politics at all, it takes place on a planet where they don't have the same genders that we do. So it's a completely different concept. It's a very interesting book. But seriously, anything by her, pick it up. She's like Margaret Atwood to me. I can't find a bad book.
Ooh, okay.
That's awesome. So check that all out. And then make sure you check back next week when we actually talk to John Hartnick and see if he's still our friend. I think he will be.
Oh, come on.
I give him credit, but I'm just kidding. But yeah, if you want to actually hear about John and some of the cool stuff that's happening with Quincy Harker, make sure you check out episode 198, which will be next week. So,
and then we will discuss music next week.
Yeah, next week we'll be discussing two albums. So if you want to listen to those albums before you listen to our podcast, make sure you go to Bandcamp and check out Valentine Wolf's Elegiac Repose and Blubbering Humdingers. Fantastic Geeks and Where to Find Them. So we'll be listening to both of those. We actually have already, but I'll probably listen to them again.
Yeah.
And discussing them, what we like, what we don't like, and what we recommend. So check it out, and thank you. Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Au revoir.
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery and on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Kilstofta. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.